You're listening to the Tarlest End Podcast, the only Reading FC podcast by the fans, for the fans. Hello and welcome to the Tarlest End Podcast, number unlucky 13. My name is Dan Wimbush, otherwise known as Wim, but welcome to the latest in our weekly shows devoted to all things Reading Football Club. As always, the song you heard at the top of the show was Biscuit Men by Violet Class. Check them out, guys. They're big Reading fans and need all the support they can get. Go over to violetclass.com and follow the lads on Twitter at Violet Class. Still no Johnny today. He remains in hiding following his recent comments on the 106. But I am joined by Mr. Alan West, otherwise known as Westy. Westy, hello.
I'm here as usual. I think Johnny's starting to turn into Royston Drenter, and he seems to be missing quite a bit, and no one seems to know why half the time.
Yeah, he's disappeared. An impact injury.
Yeah.
John Hall's impacted. Yeah. absolutely not. Apparently someone sent me a message the other day saying John Hall's is now a fashion designer.
Really?
It's a bit of a jump.
That is a change in careers, certainly. But then he was more of a fashion designer than he was a footballer.
Yes, well, save your hate. That's Johnny's shtick. But no, he's at work today, but he should be back with us after the international break. We were thinking of postponing the show for a week, and I put out to the listeners saying,
as a tribute to Johnny.
Yeah, as a tribute to Johnny. All right. And I said, you know, should we do a show this week without Johnny, or go ahead and not? But people said no, they wanted the show this week. So they
without Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Johnny. Okay, sorry. Actually, I don't think I said that Johnny was going to be missing, but even so.
That was a bonus. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, the big news of the week, obviously, for Reading was the 1-1 draw with QPR on Saturday. After a 5-2 thumping at Sheffield Wednesday, I think we sat down, didn't we, and said, as long as they didn't get beat, that was the main thing. And so it turned out to be.
And I thought it was a thoroughly enjoyable game. I think Reading probably rode their luck a little bit at times, but especially early in the game. But all in all, I thought Reading played pretty well, and there's some good performances, especially from Pop Gregnow. I thought he was excellent on the day.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. Again, it's amazing the turnaround we've seen from Pogrebniak. And our listeners put in a question to us later, so I won't go too much into it, but it's been a revelation. And it has, you know, cliche aside, been like a new signing.
Yeah, I still think he's missing a Parkman, though. I think he needs someone. Yeah. I mean, Robson Carney didn't do much for me on the day, but I think he's still missing a Parkman. Hopefully, now Billy Sharp's fit, maybe he can fill that role.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there were a couple of little bits and pieces with the team going into the game. Obviously, the news that Wayne Bridge has had little exploratory surgery on his knee, so he's going to be out for a while. So
yeah, I think it was probably a good time to do it with international break coming on. Yeah. It gives him a little bit longer to get back.
And he had been struggling for the last few weeks and outside, so hopefully they'll all clear it up. But so that meant Stephen Kelly started left back. Team in four was McCarthy, Kelly, Morrison, Caspers, Gorks, Gunter, McCleary, Guthrie, Baird, Abita, Robson, Kanu, and Pogrebniak. The obvious name that jumps out. I did sort of speculate, saying there might be changes in the back four. I could have seen Baird going in, but with Williams' injury after we recorded the show last week, it was obviously that wasn't going to happen. But Caspers Gorks in, Alex Pearce out. Before we talk about Gorks' performance on the day, do you think Alex Pearce can consider himself unlucky at all to be dropped?
Judging by the Sheffield Wednesday performance, you couldn't say he played any worse than anybody else on the day. So when we were talking about changes last week, I think we anticipated there might be maybe two or three. Yeah. But as it turned out, Pearce seems to have been the full guy for that performance. I'm not sure it was for the whole performance, but I think Atkins, as like Gorks from the beginning, he was not even on the periphery of the side when he came here. He was out at Wolves. And he's brought him back, he's put him on the bench. Mariappa's been sold for one reason or another. And I think he's likes Gorks as a footballer. I'm not sure I do, but I know he does.
Well, I think the story goes was that Adkins was very close to signing him for Southampton before Reading McDermott swooped in a couple of years ago. So, yeah, it is clear he rates him. Obviously, he brought him back from the wilderness for that last game of the season against West Ham, whether it was just to have a look at him or not. But no, he seems to like him, and he's really praised his work rate off the pitch. And I think he said in his post-match interview, he said he's worked so hard and he's had such a good attitude that if I didn't put him back in after we'd conceded five at the bottom of the league side, that could have caused him to lose heart. So well, it's good that he's treated him fairly in that respect.
It is fair comment, and it gives an added boost for anyone else who's out the side, because if people aren't performing in their positions, then obviously they've got a chance to get back in a team. And I suppose that's good for team morale. And again, if Caspers Gorks comes in and plays, again, if you want to talk about his performance, I'm not a big fan of Gorks. I think he's clumsy. I think he makes stupid errors, and he will continue to do that. Now he's starting to lose his pace. And I thought, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, he made two shocking... Well, he chipped over his feet twice, which could have resulted in goals. And we'd have been saying, why did Capsicles get put aside? We were lucky we got away with it because Carthy made saves. But you'd have to look at the goal and say that was his fault as well. He dived in when he was nowhere near the ball.
Well, let's go back to the start then. As I said, first 5 minutes, the way QPR started that game, I was sat there in my seat thinking, oh God, this could be worse than five this week. Because they were all over us. And, you know, Gawk slips on his behind. And Charlie Austin has a couple of great chances and fires them straight. Good stops by McCarthy, but they were straight at him. And again,
it shows McCarthy's importance. Because I thought all through the match, whenever he's called upon, even you can't really blame him even for the free kick that went in, because if Gunter would have stood where he was and not jumped out of the way, it would never have gone in a goal. But McCarthy, when he was called upon, he kept him in this game, and that's what good goalkeepers do.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't fault McCarthy's performance at all. Even though I thought Pogba was man of the match, McCarthy was definitely up there. Again, though, his kicking again. I don't know, it's almost going backwards.
Yeah, his kicking's not great. Where you'd say Federici's kicking is great, but he's not the better goalkeeper. It's what you're going to do. You're going to have the keeper that's clearly the best goalkeeper, I think, in the division, but maybe his kicking's not so good. Or Federici, who's a decent goalkeeper but can kick. I don't think it really matters so much in Atkins' team where it did in McDermott's, because Federici used to set up a lot of the attacks because he used to do his kick.
Ping it to Kevin or McEnough.
Yeah, or hit long or hit Hunt and get the flick on. Whereas now we don't play that sort of football, so we don't rely so much on a goalkeeper being able to kick as well as Federici can.
No, that's true. And as I said, it was fantastic with some great saves again. But, you know, it's funny because we've been sat here week after week saying Reading, great start, first 15 minutes, and they fade. It was almost the opposite this week. As I said, they were hammered the first 10, 15 minutes, but then very slowly got themselves back into the game. Jordan Obita bundled down in the box. Well, he went between two players. I think it was Simpson was one of them. And goes down. Penalty for you?
I thought it was a penalty. I was not in my usual seat because my son was playing at half-time, so I sat near at the front. And I don't like sitting at the front of any football ground because you cannot see the whole game. It makes it very difficult for me. I don't even like sitting behind a goal. I like to sit on the side so you can see everything that's happening. So from where I was, and I was a long way away, I see it clearly because I'm a Reading fan, and it was a definite penalty.
Well, I sit in Y25, but halfway up, so it literally was right in front of me. And my first reaction is, how is that not a penalty? I was listening on the radio. I was sitting there listening to Berkshire, and Mick Gooden was saying, you've definitely seen them given. They were kind of sitting on the fence, and listening back to the Sky games, I think they were saying it was a pen. Very unlucky. I thought the referee was awful. Anthony Taylor, was it?
Yeah, I didn't think he had a particularly good game at all. I thought he was overly harsh on Podgorzelny when sometimes he was getting assaulted, and he put one tackle and he booked him straight away.
Yeah. Very, very. I think there's a stat going out that I don't think we've ever won with him as a referee, and that wouldn't surprise me. Don't I'm sure quote me on that anyway. But no, so Reading grew into the game. Obita, obviously, you know, we're saying it should have been a penalty, and a couple of other sort of half chances.
I thought he was decent as well on a day, Obita. I thought he's slowly starting to grow on me as a footballer in a first position. I mean, he was all right without being brilliant. But
we've got some tweets on Obita later on. And there was a bit of discussion going on because I did the match ratings and I gave him a 6 and most of the other team got 7. And for me, I thought he was great, but he keeps hitting the first man.
Yeah.
He's crossing. He doesn't seem to know what to do with it. And far too often he was getting into a great position and then he's finding the ball, let him down. But that is something you'll find from a younger player.
Yeah,
they've got all the physical attributes to beat men and things like that. But then it's just the decision of when exactly to cross and who to look for that's just letting him down a little bit. But
I suppose the problem is there's no one at the moment that's giving Atkins an opportunity to say, well, I should play in that position. Because I didn't think Hal Robson-Kanu had a particularly good game. I thought he faded in and out of the match. McEnough's come on. He obviously doesn't fancy McEnough, but there's no one banging on the door to say, I should be in that position.
No, I think his only real threat's going to come when and if Royston Drenthe gets fully fit.
Yeah, I think he'll be out then. As simple as that. I think he'll be replaced as soon as Drenthe's fit.
But he's certainly put his hand up and certainly shown he's a player that can hack it at championship level. I've given him a 6 and I've said he's had an off day. That's not really an off day. That means you've just had a decent day.
Yeah, he's been quiet.
And I don't think he's ever really had a bad game.
No.
And, you know, so fingers crossed he can continue to develop. But so we get in after the break. Again, it's a bit of shadow boxing from both sides. And out of nowhere almost, Gareth McCleary just smacks one from 25 yards, kind of like what he did at Norwich in the Premier League last year. Goes in the bottom corner and Render one ended up out of nowhere, cracking up.
It was a good hit. It was a great finish. Again, it was going to need something like that because I didn't think Reading created too many opportunities to clear-cut chances.
No.
Maybe one or two, but there wasn't a lot. A few dropped from him in the box, especially in the second half. But Green wasn't called into action an awful lot, whereas McCarthy was. So it was going to take a shot from distance. And again, he struck it well. And again, he said it himself, he should be scoring more goals, and he should be.
Yeah, and we just managed to beat it. You know, it could have been 2-0 minutes later.
Should have been. I thought it was, actually, from the view I had of it.
Well, Green was completely off balance. He just got lucky. His sort of trailing leg did just enough to turn it around the post. But I guess I wasn't the only one sat on the ground thinking, oh, that's not going to come back and bite us. And
I think as soon as they got that free kick, I thought, from the angle I had, I thought this looks easier to score.
Mm.
But again, if you look at it, I should still say it was good
at all. The thing is, at this point, and I was going to leave this to him, but why I want to bring it up now is, I was sat there at that point thinking, all right, make some subs, bring some fresh legs on, change it up.
Yeah.
And Atkins didn't.
No, it was slow.
It was slow. And especially when Hoylett basically was injured from about the 70th minute onwards. He was holding his hamstring, he was hobbling around. He was basically a passenger that could kick the ball and keep the ball moving around. But Reading really had a chance to really go for it and bring on fresh legs and really pull QPR apart. They didn't. And QPR have the quality of players like Andy Johnson to bring off the bench. And Johnson, you know, did well down the Reading right. Cuts in, gets the ball to Austin. Austin pulls away from Gorks, and Gorks' foot catches him. Free kick for you?
Oh, definitely free kick. He had no reason to try and dive in for that ball. He was never going to get there. And that's Gorks all over. And that's why he's not the answer at centre-back, I'm afraid.
Yeah, to be fair, he's up against one of the best strikers in this division. But
I don't think it matters who he's up against. He will always do that because he's always done it.
And this is where why QPR is so strong. They've got players like Joe Barton who can step up and take a free kick like that and curl it in. Players like that don't miss. And that is why, you know, QPR will be there or thereabouts coming into the season. Because even when they weren't playing brilliantly...
Yeah, it won't matter because they've got quality of players. Simple as that. They score a goal out of nowhere.
Exactly like that. And, you know, they scored and... You know, both teams had a little half chance of the game wore on, but that was about it, really. 1-1. I walked out the ground saying fair result. Bit disappointing. Obviously, they've blown another lead. Mm. I think that's the fourth lead now they've blown this season in the last 10 minutes of a game. But, you know,
I think everyone walked out the ground thinking that was a fair result. And like I said, it could have been a lot worse in the first 10 minutes. And they rode that storm. And I thought they played well. I thought it was the best they played Reading for quite a number of weeks.
Yeah.
And they was more than a match for QPR at times, and you can say that's a positive to take out.
And it's what we said as well, you know, Reading raising their game against the bigger sides. It reminded me a lot, again, of that game, I think I brought it up in last week's show, when Reading played Southampton on the telly, and Adkins brought his side down about this time of year, and they got that 1-1 draw. And again, it was a bit of a silly goal that they gave away. And, you know, that gave them a little bit of belief, and fingers crossed they can take that forward. You know, Reading always do rise and play better against the better teams, and they've got quite a few of them coming up now.
Like I say, we're going to need to play better against better sides because that's the next sort of four or five matches. We've got some good sides to play. So it'll be a good measure of how good we are, and hopefully we'll have a relatively fully fit squad by then.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And just before we go on to speak to Charles Watts, again, I brought up a minute ago, the substitutes, a bit confusing. And to make a triple sub in the 90th minute is a bit...
It was pointless.
Yeah,
it was pointless. Again, I thought he should have made substitutes quicker. I was surprised we didn't see Sharp a little bit faster than he did. Again, I don't know how long he's played for us now. Is it 10 minutes or something like that?
Something like that,
in a month. Obviously, he's not fully fit, but surely he could have done more than 5 or 6 minutes. Maybe he could have done 15, 20. Like I said, I didn't think Hal Robson-Carney was having a particularly good game. He wasn't causing him any problems. He was winning a few flick-ons, but when you got when you got Lafondre and you got Sharp, who are proven goal scorers in this division, it's a surprise they're still sat on the bench with sort of 6, 7, 8 minutes to go.
No, and I suppose the question is, on the basis of that performance, if Reading put in that performance week in, week out, could you see them possibly sneaking into the top two?
Again, we've had a bad run of results, and by Christmas we'll have a better idea, but it's looking at the moment that Reading have to do what they've done in the past, and that's put a great run together on the back half of the season. Can they do that? I think they could. At the moment, they're not showing too much to the point they could run 7, 8, 9 wins in 10. It's not looking that way at the moment. But, like I said, we've got players to come back. It could happen, but Burnley still looks strong. Leicester are looking strong. There's a lot of sides up there that look decent, and I think maybe the top two might be a bridge too far, but definitely playoffs, I think, is pretty much now.
Yeah, and when you consider teams like Watford, who haven't been firing all cylinders.
Funny team, Watford, isn't they? They go and win some games, and you think, oh, they're back to their best, and then next week they get beat 3-2.
I think maybe they've got a bit of Reading about them as well, though, of players that were almost feel maybe they should have been in the Premier League this season, obviously losing to Palace, and maybe they've got the playoff final hangover that Reading found after they lost to Swansea. So
maybe, but they'd certainly score a lot of goals, Watford. You've got to say that about them.
Yeah, Fair enough. Right, so let's move on to catch up with some of the latest news around the club with Get Reading reporter Charles Watts.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Evening, Charles. Thanks again for joining us.
No worries. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. Thanks. Good week for yourself.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. A bit quiet. Everyone's heading off on the international break. So, yeah, it's all a bit quiet at the moment.
Must be hard for a reporter when it gets to international week. Local.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm heading off on holiday next week. So I've got a week off.
Are you going skiing?
I'm not going skiing now. I'm going down to Cornwall, which should really be a summer holiday. But
very nice. I'm
heading down there for a few days and having a bit of seafood and all that. Should be nice.
As you've already got a touch of the Fordhams, you used to go disappearing skiing every other week, it seemed like.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I'm not sure I'd survive that. I'd stand on a skateboard, let alone on a ski.
Do you recover from the obviously painful result for yourself at the weekend, at Old Trafford?
We're talking about Reading, aren't we?
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, it was horrible. Typical Arsenal. Typical Arsenal. Don't get me started on that. I've been ranting about it all week.
Next week in the Arsenal Football Fancast. Anyway, but it was more positive for Reading on Saturday, wasn't it? A 1-0 draw. You predicted it.
That's exactly
what you predicted in the paper. But did the game go as you thought it would go?
It did, in a way. I mean, I thought QPR were probably the better side, created the better chances. Obviously, Alex had a very good game in goal, made some great saves, especially in the first half. But I thought Reading sort of stood up to him, you know. I think that's what they were never going to, you know, be at their best. After what happened at Hillsborough, that's going to take its toll, isn't it? And I think everyone had been talking to me in the build up to the game about needing to sort of show the fans that they got the fight and owing the supporters one. And I think they did that, didn't they? They stuck at it, they were tight, they were. You know, they tackled hard and I just thought it was a decent showing. I thought it was a really good game, actually, altogether. A few people sort of disagreed with me, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was two decent sides going at it, a couple of good goals, good sort of individual battles all over the pitch, and I really did enjoy it. It was a shame couldn't hold on, you know. I mean, obviously a good free kick by Mr. Barton. Maybe Alex could have done better. I spoke to him afterwards and he was a little bit disappointed. He had his man of the match trophy, but he was just a little bit disappointed. It felt it was his side, so maybe he could have done better. But I think all in all, it's a fair result. And do you agree?
Well, I thought if you look at the free kick, I thought if Gunter would have just stood where he was instead of jumping out of the way, he'd have hit him in the face and they wouldn't have scored anyway.
A few people have said that. I've got to say, I haven't sort of seen that angle, that replay then, because a few people said someone turned about. I didn't know it was Gunter, but a couple of people said the wall wasn't the greatest. So.
No, Paul got a hand on it, didn't he? But he just couldn't.
He did. I mean, he hit it pretty hard, didn't he? I mean, he got a decent hand on it. It just seemed to go through his fingers. But I think it was quite close to him when he hit it with such power that it would have been one hell of a save to keep it out.
And we were saying as well, I think that's the reason why QPR are going to go up automatically, because they've got players like Barton that can just do that out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, I thought they were decent, actually, QPR. In the first half, they were good. It's quite surprising that they've struggled to score goals this season, because they looked a threat all day, didn't they? And if it weren't for Alex in the first half, made a couple of great saves. So I'm sure, like everyone's saying, if you finish above QPR, you're certainly going to go up this year.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Gorks, Charles, on the day?
I thought he played really well. I thought he was nervy early on, and he admitted that afterwards. In fact, he said he was the most nervous he's ever been before a football match, which surprised me for someone who's won league titles and captained his country. And he said he was more nervous than he's ever been. And I thought that showed probably the first 5 or 10 minutes. Didn't help that he stacked it after about 5 minutes trying to clear the ball and gifted Charlie Austin a shot, which Alex saved. But other than that, I thought he really grew into it and was a real sort of calming influence in there and sort of flung himself in front of a few shots. And no, I thought he did really well. Big move by Nigel, I suppose, breaking up that centre-back pair, and they've played every minute, haven't they, before that, Sean and Alex. And so Nigel sort of made the move. He'd hinted at it to me on the Thursday that he was thinking about it. But I thought it paid off. In a way, it's probably not too bad for the two young centre-backs to be split out. They've played an awful lot of minutes. And I think after shipping five at Hillsborough, someone was going to probably have to drop out. And it proved to be Alex Pearce.
Yeah, we just mentioned it a minute ago, I think. Nigel said that if he hadn't brought Gorks in after all his hard work when they've just shipped five, I think it would have been a damaging blow. And I don't think it would have done anything for morale, really.
It would. I mean, I think, you know, it won't be the worst thing for Alex. He'll just take a little step back now. He's played an awful lot of football and he can just take a step back. I mean, you know, if you've got a squad, you've got an experienced centre-back sitting on the bench, and you've got to use him at some point in the season, can't you? You can't just play everyone constantly and run them into the ground.
Yeah, and speaking of the squad, unfortunately, we're bringing up every week, it's Reading's injury list. A couple of bits of news. Obviously, Wayne Bridge having minor knee surgery. What sort of timetable do you think we can see on Bridge's return?
Well, Nigel was trying to paint quite a positive picture last week about it. They're saying a few weeks. I mean, to be honest, he won't even say what the injury is at the moment, and I can't get that out. All I know is a knee injury, and the operation is just a case of cleaning it up. So
he's a physio; he should know these things.
I'm sure he does know what it is, but he's not letting it out. So it kind of depends on the nature of the injury, I suppose. But he didn't seem to think it was that serious. And if it is just a case of going in there and maybe clearing a few things out, so I'm not a medical person, but you often hear people say that, don't you? There's a few things sort of floating around in there that need to get come out. So if it is the case, then yeah, he's hoping a few weeks, but I can't imagine we're going to see him again in 2013. I think it'll probably we're looking at January.
Yeah, and one player who went off injured at the end of that QPR game was Danny Guthrie. Did Nigel give anything away after the game as to how serious that might be?
I think he said he felt his hamstring. I mean, I wasn't upstairs with Nigel after the game. I was downstairs waiting and talking to the players. So I didn't actually, and I haven't seen Nigel since. There's something going down on the training ground tomorrow, but I'm not sure Nigel's actually going to be there. But I think he said it was a hamstring
as well.
Yeah, he may well be. I think he said it was a slight hamstring. I don't think it was anything particularly serious and particularly needed to be worried about. But the way things are going for Reading this season, you never know, do you? If you want to play, you really don't want to be without. Because I thought he was good against QPR as well. He had a couple of quiet games when he wasn't at his influential best. But I thought he really came to the party against QPR.
Yeah,
he had a good battle in there.
I thought it was just his final ball. He kept driving through players and getting to a great position, then just playing a silly pass. And you can see the frustration on his face for a couple of times. He was just not quite there.
He's done that a couple of times this season, actually. He's got into really good positions and his final ball's let him down a little bit. But I don't think we can't have too much of a go at him, can he? He's certainly been one of the standout players so far.
And any updates on the long-term injured, the likes of Williams, Drenta, Robertson, etc.?
They were out on the pitch afterwards. Although, well, I'm told Drenta was out on the pitch afterwards, but I didn't
see
him.
What you said then? I'm glad you said pitch. There was that one.
No.
We
all know what he got up to before he came to Reading, so I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But
very much pitch.
Yeah,
no,
apparently they were out on the pitch afterwards. Well, I certainly saw Williams out there, because after I'd been down in the mix zone with the players, I came back up and was writing a few things up for the website, and I was actually watching the kickabout that happened. And Williams, he was there right till the final whistle, and it was a good physical workout. So his little setback he had in training doesn't appear to have been that bad. I saw the club put out on the Twitter feed that Royston was out there as well, but I didn't see Royston. So I spoke to the club today, and I was assured he definitely was there. But
yeah,
maybe
think Tim might have been saying on Reddit Barch that he was out there. So
was it,
I don't know, he might have only played. I suppose he might have only done a little bit rather than playing the full session.
They were out there for a long time while I was downstairs, because we were waiting for some of them to come in and they never did. So when I went back upstairs, it wouldn't have surprised me, maybe, because he was quite a bit behind Williams in terms of his recovery anyway. So he may have only been out there for the first 10, 15 minutes. He went back to training last week, Royston, but at the very, very early stages of it. So, hopefully another week or so. You just never know, Royston. The club are not really saying too much there, but just get the impression that there might be a little bit of frustration about how hard he's working in training to get back fit. You just look at him now, he's not quite, how do I put this? He doesn't look like the sharpest. Look like he's been working that hard while he's been injured to keep himself fit, if you see what I'm saying.
I think what he's saying is that's the reason he's not still at Real Madrid and he's at Reading.
I think it's going to take some time for him to get fully match fit again. Let's put it that way.
It'll be at least a 2 month mark from that Leeds game by the time he comes back, which is disappointing, really, from an impact injury.
Yeah, well, and when you think when he arrived as well, how far behind everyone he was during pre-season. He's one of these players that takes a lot to get up to speed. He's not, and just the sort of build he is as well. He puts on a little bit of weight fairly easily, and so I think it's going to take a while to see him back to full fitness. So I think he's certainly going to have to work hard.
No, he's certainly more Massar than Messiah.
Told you.
At the moment.
I said when he signed, he's Massar. I don't know if you know who Massar is, Charles.
I've had quite a few people say that, actually, since he arrived.
That was my fear when he first signed, and it's still my fear now.
Yeah, but the frustrating thing was, he was given a good account of himself before the injury.
He was.
And he, you know, he was playing 90 minutes. Even that Leeds game, he finished the 90 minutes in that real physical game, and he set up LaFondre's goal as well, didn't he? But like the last kick of the game, and it's just really frustrating that it just seems like it's all suddenly slowed down again now, and it just seems like it's taking too long, this injury.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that it all clears up, and when it does, that he returns to form. So it sounds as if Blackburn might be a little too soon for him. But do you think you'll see many changes, even if these players come back fit, or do you think Nigel will keep faith with the team?
I think he seems to be keeping faith at the moment, doesn't he? He's not making too many changes, even after losing 5-2 at Sheffield Wednesday, and he made the one change. So I can't imagine we're going to see too much. I think if Williams is involved, I think he'll be back in some capacity, probably from the bench, just because he's going to have to start easing him in. But other than that, maybe Billy Sharp. We all know how much Nigel likes Billy Sharp. So if he's fit and fully up to speed, then maybe he'll be involved. But the way he plays away from home at the moment, he tends to be going with the 4-5-1 or whatever, however you want to describe it, with maybe Pogging his own up front and Howell just behind something like that. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that.
So
see that again.
A score prediction from yourself? I know it's a long way off.
I would say let's go for 2-1. Let's be positive. 2-1 Reading. That's the way. When maybe Sean Morrison celebrating his new contract with the winner.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring that up. It's one bit of news. Yeah, that's what we call a link, folks. Sean Morrison on the Get Reading website today confirming that he's in. I think you've gone with set to sign a new deal at Reading. Is that close then?
Well, yeah, he seems to think it was going to be in the next couple of weeks. He was only hoping it was going to be done in the next couple of weeks. He's been talking since the summer, but he's saying we're getting to the very end stages now and hoping to have it done in a couple of weeks. So if that is done, then very positive news. I think he's had a good season. I think everyone kind of forgets just how young he is. He's 22 still, which seems crazy. And before this season, he was, certainly wasn't a guaranteed starter in the team. And yet now he's got the armband and his play, he hasn't missed a minute of league football yet so far.
After what happened with Alex Pearce last year as well, it's really good to see Reading getting this one done and dusted early.
Cause yeah,
he's not up in the summer, is it? I think, is it next summer?
He's got 2016. He's 2016. Actually got a decent. I think he only signed a sort of extension to one last year. I think it's 2016. So it's obviously the club wanted to make sure he sticks around longer, and he certainly seems to want to stick around longer. He says he loves the place. The manager trusts him. He said the fans seem to like him. And why would he want to go anywhere else? So no, I think it's great news. I mean, you look at him, don't you? And he's got all the attributes to go on and become a really top defender. He's a big old unit, and he's strong. He's got good leadership qualities. He's still very raw. He's far from a finished arc. I'm sure he'll admit that himself, but. Yeah, so it's a 22-year-old defender of that quality. You want to get him tied down, don't you?
No, and he's got one of the best songs of Reading players in recent seasons as well.
Yeah, it seems to be quite popular.
Yeah, we can't repeat on air because it's a family show. But keep your ear up to the East Stand next time at the Rodeski. Well, thanks very much again for joining us, Charles. Enjoy your holiday, and we'll catch up with you after the Blackburn game.
Excellent. All right, boys, take it easy. Speak
take
soon.
Easy. See you later. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
View from the Tarhurst End. Recapping this week's Championship action.
Thanks again to Charles for joining us, and a reminder you can catch up with all of his writing on Reading on the Get Reading website at getreading.co.uk. Right, Westy, we mentioned the Blackburn game there. What, if anything, can you see major changes from Nigel Atkins? Because obviously we talked as well about injuries there, and chances are there will be a few players back in the fold. Do you think it's going to be a case of he's going to basically start his season again, come up with a new formation and a new system of play? Or do you think he's going to say, you guys did well against QPR, I'm going to keep this team, and then slowly blend players back in?
Yeah, it's great with Nigel Atkins because you never got a clue what he's going to do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do till it actually kicks off the game.
You need to ask Mystic Meg.
Yeah, you do. I think he would probably think that a 1-1 draw home to QPR and a better performance was better from his side. So I'd be surprised if he made too many changes. I do think, though, that if Sharp's fit, he'll start, and Robson Carney will drop to the bench. That might be the only change that happens. Again, it depends who's fit. Williams, you'd have thought, would have been on the bench. Maybe Drent will be back, who knows. But again, if Drent is back, I think he'll start on the bench, and I think Williams will start on the bench. So I reckon he'll probably start with exactly the same 11, less 10 of the 11, less Carney and Sharp starting up front.
I'd like him to almost clear the decks and just really put out a statement and say, this is the team I'm backing. Because we've mentioned it all through this season and writings on the Tyler Sim website,
he's very rarely had his preferred 18 to choose from. And I'd like him to say, you know what, Trent is going to be my number nine or whatever behind Pogrebniak. This is the team I'm going to bank forward. We're going to build some momentum. This team's going to play week in, week out for the next four or five games. I don't think he's going to do that.
No.
Because even when he did have those players, he was still tweaking it here.
Yeah, he horses for courses quite a lot. We spoke about this at the start of the season. It's interesting to see what he would do. Again, if he's going to bring Gorks in because he's been playing well in training and we conceded five goals, then you could quite easily see him drop one or two others. I mean, again, Baird, we don't know what's happened with him in January. And if he's got no future at the club, what's the point of playing him?
Yeah.
He's come in to fill a hole. But once the players are back, surely you think he'd back Williams, he'd back Drenter.
Yeah.
If Baird's not going to be sticking around, we have no indication he will be.
Another sort of issue, obviously, Danny Guthrie went off right at the end of that game against Millwall, against QPR in the final seconds. And doesn't look too serious, but in case he does have an adverse reaction over the next couple of weeks and he's out injured, that's really going to upset the apple cart, because I don't think there's a like-for-like replacement at the club.
No, there isn't. The only thing you could do is put Williams in and have a more attacking central midfielder who's going to get forward and support the strikers, I suppose. That's the only thing you could do. And again, it'd be changing the system slightly.
It'd be a bit more of a McDermott style.
Yeah.
Midfield.
Get forward and let Baird sit in the hole. I guess that's all he can do with that. What would you say was Reading's best 11 if everyone was fit?
Right, off the top of my head, I'd have McCarthy in goal.
Yeah, me too.
Bridge, left back.
Yeah, definitely.
Centre backs. I'd go Baird alongside. Do you know what? I'd still put Pearce in there. I've had a Morrison, okay. And then Gunter at right back.
It's tricky though, isn't it? It's difficult to pick.
But I think Baird has got the experience head, and he's got a little bit more pace about him. I think he'd play well with someone like a Pearce or a Morrison. I don't think there's a lot between the two of them.
I think it might help him as a back four to have him back there.
Mm.
But again, without seeing him play there too often, I'd just be picking his name out of the air, hoping that he was better than
the back side.
I really don't know. I couldn't pick. Yeah. And I'm on it to say this is what I think. But yeah, I'd probably have Morrison and Baird and Bridge and Gunter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have Kelly. I don't rate Kelly.
I think he's a midfield pair. I'd like to see, obviously, Carrick-Chan's going to be out injured for a long while now. So I think you're looking at, for me, Williams and Guthrie as those two.
Yeah, that's all.
Really impressive, Williams, in what I did see of him. I think he was really coming into form before he got that injury against Leeds. So I'd like to see those two sitting there then. McCleary out on the wings, and then two up front or one flat behind of Sharp and Pogrebniak, or maybe Robson Kanu if it's a tough away game instead of a Sharp maybe.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with you, to be honest, but I don't know whether Drenter on the wing is too helpful defensively. I think he tends to float out of games and just sort of like if you watch Ronaldo, he tends to cheat and stand up the pitch and hope that someone comes and mark him. Whether that's a tactic or not, I don't know.
I mean, some people have said, actually, it's funny, because obviously we've been moaning about the lack of left-back, that obviously he played, Drenter played there for Real Madrid. Could you see him maybe dropping back into left-back?
No.
No?
No, I think you'd have your heart in your mouth all the time if you've got the ball down, trying to take two players on or hit a risky pass. A
bit like when Gareth Bale used to play left-back.
A bit like that, yeah. But again, I can't see him playing left back now. But I think they need Bridge back there definitely. But it's up, open up to listeners. I'd like to know what their first 11 would be because it is tricky to pick, because there was a lot of people that if Kanu's on form, then you could make a case for him to play. But at the moment, he's not.
No. So, send in your feedback. The Twitter address is at the Tarlhurst End, facebook.com/Tarlhurst End, and the Tarlhurst End at gmail.com. Let us know what your preferred 11 is. If you had. Presuming everybody's realistically going to be fit. I mean, obviously, we don't really expect to see Roberts or Ledgerwood or Carrichan anytime soon, do we?
Are we saying fit and on form?
No, I'm just saying fit. Fit, yeah. So if the season was starting on Saturday, week Saturday against Blackburn, who would you go for? If you are on the optimistic side and think Jason Roberts is going to be fit anytime soon, feel free to include him.
Yeah, again, would you play Jason Robertson, put Pogrebniak up front together?
I still think, and this is a controversial opinion given on how many players people are suggesting for their most disliked Reading players, and I've not been his biggest fan recently, but I still think he's got a lot to offer. If he's fit, but that is a massive
great big if.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see him. It's not looking like we're going to see him, I don't think. Not
well, we're into, what, the middle of November, and he's not coming back anytime soon, no. So
best. I said at the start of the season, you're lucky to see him fit before Christmas, and I'm going to stick by that, because it's not looking like you're seeing him fit after Christmas.
It'd still be, for me, though, if he does come back, a great option off the bench. To replace a Pogrebnik after 70 minutes.
For a like-for-like swap? Yeah. Brilliant. It'd be lovely to have him back, but I just can't see it.
No, well, we're paying him, so we might as well use him if he does get fit anyway. Okay, so fair enough. Yeah, so send in your suggestions for who your preferred 11 would be. Just another thing to bring up in pub chat this week. Just mentioned Big Pog and how well he's been doing. We can reveal today that he was voted your Reading FC Player of the Month for October. So, congratulations, Pog. Well done, well done. He's broken Danny Guthrie's streak of winning the first two of the season. But he took it with 53% of the vote. A worthy winner for you, Westy?
Well, I'm going to point back to something you said off air earlier, that has he been that bad that his little up-to on inform has made him look brilliant? I'm going to say I think he's against QPR, I thought he was excellent. And he just needs that partner, I think, to play with him that's got a bit of pace and can help him with a goal scoring.
Yeah, Guthrie was second in the poll. He took 18% of the vote. And Gareth McCleary both shared third place with 13% each. I think all of those guys had a good month.
Yeah, but no one's really stood out, have they? No one's really pulled up too many trees. They've been good without being brilliant.
Gareth McCleary had a couple of good games recently, but obviously we're looking at October's games alone. He was hit and miss, and same with Jordan Obita. So I think it was Pog was good even when Reading were bad, I think is what swayed it. I think even in the dreadful games. And
he was slightly more consistent without being brilliant, I would
say. Exactly. Against teams like Millwall, where we didn't play well, he still did enough. So, well, no, congratulations to Big Paul.
But again, I suppose what you've got to say about his upturn in form is, we said about before, I think Atkins needs to take a pat on the back because he's put his arm around his shoulder, and that's obviously what he needed.
Absolutely, very much so. Right, so that about wraps up Pub Chat. It's time now to move on to your questions, tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Thanks very much for all your feedback this week, guys. Been a bit of a quieter week after a draw.
There's always a lot less when you've not got hammered, that's for certain. I said before, you always get more tweets when you lose.
Exactly. So it's been a little bit more pedestrian, but thanks very much for everybody who has taken the time to send us a tweet, Facebook or an email. You heard all the contact details a minute ago, so I won't run through them again now. But you know the places to get hold of us. Anyway, Darren Collins says, who'd have thought Pog would be playing the way he is now? Complete turnaround.
We talked about Pog Grebnik quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. And again, I think Atkins has got to take a lot of credit for his turnaround. Also, we spoke about Meet the Russians that you're a big fan of. And
I need to catch up with that. I've missed the last few episodes.
His family seem a lot more settled. And again, that can have an effect on a player.
We did say about players that we've said generally there's not a lot of smiles on the pitch. But Pog does look like he's enjoying his football. He seems really up for it and really determined.
I think the most upsetting about the whole thing is he hasn't been putting his performance before. And the reasons for that. I think if you're getting paid a bit good wage by a club, you should be giving it all you've got. And I don't think he has.
I think he was. I think that spell around Christmas when Reading were rejuvenated last year under McDermott, he and the whole team were looking good. But then suddenly
he scored about three games on the trot. I remember scoring at Tottenham, and he had a little run where he had a little run where he's scoring goals. And again, he had a great game against Man City that I remember from last year. And then his form completely dropped off. And whether that was, well, we've got no idea why it was, but he did. But again, Atkins come in, he's put his arm around him, and he's a much better player at the moment.
And as we said, it's a bit like having a new player there. So,
well, just a player there.
Yeah. One person who's not as impressed with the Pog is Gareth Price. And after I gave him man of the match for me in our player ratings for the QPR game, he says, "Can't believe Pog was your man of the match. He's absolutely dire in front of goal, either has his back to it or just takes too long." The only thing I think of is there was one moment where he dribbled through and just dribble completely away from
It was a great run that ended in nothing. But if you look at Pod Grebnik's goal scoring record before he came to this club, I think it's 1-3 in top division. So you can't moan about his goal scoring.
And I think he's on about that this season. He's got, what, 4 goals now? 5?
Something like that, yeah. And that's about right. And there aren't too many players that can do that at the top level. So you can complain all you like about his goal scoring ability, but his record speaks for itself, whether it be here or anywhere
else. And said, please leave your comments on that player ratings article. I think he was leading the man of the match.
He's not only this, with strikers, especially with Lafondre and players like that, is their goal scoring records are good. But if Paul Grabnick was on penalties, he'd probably have two or three more goals this season. Then he'd be looking at 7 goals already, and everyone would be saying, oh, he's got a great strike record.
Yeah, that's very true.
So you can, stats are there to be pulled apart half the time.
Exactly. I think he does a great work. Great work. It was a bit like Shane Long in that season when he completely burst onto the scene, didn't he? He had that first 6 months where he wasn't really getting a lot of goals, but he was working so hard.
No. But then,
and then the goals just magically started coming for him.
It's a bit like Roberts. I know he did have a good goal scoring run when he joined the club and for a long while, but it wasn't so much his goal scoring, it was the fact that he brought the team, the rest of the team into the game by being able to hold the ball and letting them run off him. Now, I think Paul Gerrard's been doing that well recently, and like I said, he just needs someone up front with him who's going to put the ball in the net on a regular basis.
It's like Wayne Rooney at times. Wayne Rooney will have long spells where he doesn't score for 4 or 5 games, but he's just working so damn hard.
Oh, his work rate is amazing.
And Van Persie will then, you know, get the key goals, but he just works so damn hard. And you need players like that at every club to do the tough work that doesn't get all the credit, but brings the rest of the team into the game.
And this is where your midfielders start scoring goals as well. When your striker's been able to hold the ball and lay it off, this is where you get goals from midfield. And if you're not doing that, if it's just being punted over their heads and they ain't getting involved in the game at all, they don't score any goals.
Again, you could argue the physical presence of Pogrebniak was drawing the defenders away to let McCleary have so much room to have his shot. So, I think he's doing a great job, and long may it continue. But I'd say, Gareth, more than welcome to your opinion, that's the beauty of football, isn't it? Each their own, and that's why we have a vote for player of the match, so you can cast yours. And another person who's disagreed with me this week is Royalty Points. He said, I can't agree with the Tyler Sten saying John O'Beater didn't have his best day. I thought yesterday was clearly his best game so far for Reading. As I said earlier in the show, personally, I just thought his crossing let him down a bit too much for me, and I thought he had a good but not a great game. Where do you think it ranked in his Reading career? So
I think it probably was the best game I've seen him have in a Reading shirt, other than the youth team. I thought he did play real well, and he looks like a first team player. He didn't look like a boy playing in the first team. So he's progressing. He'll get better. He's got a great left foot. I've seen him at youth level a couple of times. He was excellent. So I think if Atkins is backing him, then we have to trust the manager on this, because he sees him every day. We don't.
Yeah, and I've got absolutely no problem with John O'Beater getting a prolonged run in the side. I think he's full of potential. And as I said earlier, if you know, I'm thinking he's had an off day and giving him a 6, then I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, but it's for players like Kanu and that to come and take his shirt off him, and they're not. So they've only got themselves to blame for sat on the bench on next
no,
week.
No, and John Hyde on O'Beater as well says O'Beater set piece delivery was great as ever. Did look out of place in and around quality players. Also looked a lot better than McEnough, who probably won't be here next season. I think the future is looking bleak now for Jamie McEnough. I think his lack of use in the last couple of weeks has been very telling. If he can't get in the team now with so many injuries, then he's really got to be thinking, what future is there for me?
Okay, I talked about this when I started the show for Get Ready, and I said I've never been a big fan of McEnough, and obviously Atkins isn't either, so I don't think you will see him next year. And now I think the only reason he's stuck around is because he was captain, and he probably thought at the beginning of last year, I'll be back in the side on a regular basis, because he played a lot in the Premier League.
Played every game, didn't he?
Yeah, he played a lot in the Premier League. Atkins is still with the captain, and I bet he thought at the start of the season, well, I'm going to start this season, but it's not turned out that way for him. And again, he's not banging on a door to grab a shirt off anyone, because when he's come on, I know it's difficult coming off the bench for 10, 15 minutes, but he's not pulled up any trees.
I don't know. I thought he had a really good game when he came on against Doncaster, although that was against 10 men and it was Doncaster. Yeah. But
I think McInnes losing his pace, and he's a bit light on the ball. And if you're going to be light on the ball, you're going to get...
But you do look at games, and as I mentioned earlier, we've blown, I think, 4 leads now. And I do think you need someone like... I thought it would have made a lot of sense to bring McInnes on Saturday in place of Obita for the last 10 minutes, 15, well, longer than the last 20 minutes. Really steady head, can do a lot of defensive work. And he's used to playing on the left as well, which will help Stephen Kelly a lot. And I just thought he could have come on and done a lot more. But
Maybe why he didn't know Wim, because he isn't left-footed, and O'Beater is. And he probably thought, well, if I leave him out, at least he can whip across him. Whereas McAdoo, if you watch McAdoo play on the left, and I moan it about it a lot, he always has to cut in on his right foot. Too obvious.
Yeah, well, I hope he does get a bit of use. I think he's still got something left to offer. I don't think he's a week-in, week-out starter, but... I think he's a very good option to have on the bench. And
I think he's probably, like you said earlier, I think he's probably now he's more of a defensive option, where you bring him on for maybe Drenta when you're 2-1 up with 10 minutes to go.
Well, if Danny Guthrie is injured and Danny Williams doesn't get fit anytime soon, I think you could well be seeing him back in the middle.
So it amazes me about wingers going into the middle. As I was watching Ryan Giggs in Europe the other week, and that bloke is still brilliant on the ball. His passing's brilliant, his awareness is brilliant, and at 40 years old, he's still an excellent player. And when you look at him when he was 20...
He was that winger, would go past players and take people on.
Boot, a bit like Jilksy back in the day.
Exactly. He can't do that anymore. So McAnuff really needs to take a little bit look at Ryan Giggs and maybe change the way he plays a little bit.
I don't think McAnuff's absolutely terrible in the middle. I thought having him in the middle last year in the Premier League was laughable. But at this level, I think he could do a decent job.
Yeah, again, he could come on. I wouldn't like to see him start every week.
No, not at all. I still think he's worth a place in the squad. But yeah, I think his place is on the bench, at least for the time being anyway. And our final tweet this week comes in from betting guru, Joe Stevenson.
Oh.
He's had another one.
The Oracle.
And he's won another bet. He decided not to go for Morrison and went for the standard 1-1. And he was correct.
He was. Well done,
Joe. He listened to Charles Watts' prediction on the show last week, obviously.
Was it 8-1, 6-1, something like that? Round about that, I was for.
I can't remember what it was. I had completely random ones. I think I had Pogrebny at 3-1 and all sorts of peculiar things. I love a scorecast. You see the big, massive odds in front of you of 120 to 1 or whatever, and you think,
clear it away.
Surely that's easy.
Yeah, it's going to happen one day.
Exactly. It's happened for me once. I had a Leicester game. And Reading were playing Leicester. It was, I think, the game that Kebe had an absolute wonder show. And we won 3-1. And I'd put before the game, Kebe 3-1. And Reading went 3-0 up. Oh. And Andrew King has this free kick 20 minutes from the end of whatever for Leicester. Scores it. And I'm in the middle of Y25 going, come on!
Then you're biting your nails for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And everyone around me's like, what's going on? I think it's perfectly acceptable in the life.
I think sometimes it keeps an interest in the game where it was well gone before that.
No, but as I said last week, we're not advocating.
Oh, no.
And gamble away.
Yep.
Gamble away. Anyway, thanks again.
Didn't you say last week, better wear? And I bought a load of pots and pans.
Better. That's a good place to leave our feedback. And if you want to send in any of your questions or comments, you can, as I said, tell us and websites. You can also drop us a line. We've got a thread on the Royals Rendezvous and on Hobnob Anyone. And the Twitter's at the Tallest End. The talisend at gmail.com is your email address, and we've got a Facebook page. Give us a like over at facebook.com/thetalisend.
The Talhurst End Podcast.
Any other business?
Right, just time for a few more bits and pieces then before we go. First of all, check out plenty more content on the Talhurst End website at thetalisend.com or .co.uk. Either one will get you there. Loads of content's gone out this week. We've had bits on Royston Drenthe, on the midfield, and Danny Guthrie. We've got our news bites, a loan roundup, looking at all of our players that are out and about on loan at the moment. Player ratings from the QPR game, our 5 points, absolutely tons of content. We're aiming to get new stuff up every day. So, guys, it's worth bookmarking it and checking it at least once a day. So we're hoping, and I'd also like at this point, I'd like to thank people as well, because I've been saying on this show for weeks now that we're looking for new contributors, and it's more the merrier. And this last week, we've had sort of 4 or 5 people come forward saying they'd like to help out with the website, and it's really appreciated. I said, the more people got aboard, the more we can do, and the more interesting, hopefully, it is for everyone else.
All the fans, all the fans.
Exactly that. And so keep that coming. If you do want to get involved, just drop an email to tylercent@gmail.com. There's also an article up on the website, fairly high on the show page, with a bit more info on it. So, check that one out. But, a couple of things before we go. We've been literally just chatting between off air because we're looking at the Twitter page, and the Twitter page has got in the background a game at Elm Park, and it's the Norwich game, last game of the season. And we're talking, Bellamy scored that day. It's rare to see a player still playing at Elm Park that did play at Elm Park. So we've got thinking, just as a little teaser this week, it's not really. If you guys can think of players that are still active that have actually played at Elm Park. The only other one we thought, we've got two.
We come up with two, didn't we? Bellamy, and Ryan Giggs.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else.
But we have only just thought about it, so probably we'll come up with a few over the course of the week.
Yeah, there's got to be a few goalkeepers.
Yeah, before goalkeepers-wise.
Looking around the lower leagues.
But it's an interesting question to stick out there. Which players are still playing that have played at Elm Park?
It's a bit of an end of an era, really, because we are now so far away from... I was talking to my dad, because I think... For me, it'll be 19 years in January that I've been watching Reading. And I was thinking, I only watched Reading at Elm Park for 3 years now. It's been 16 years at Medeski. It's far dwarfed anything at Elm Park.
Yeah.
I suppose, for you, it must... Have you tipped over the more time than Medeski?
I started going in 85, when it shut 97.
So 13, yeah, so it has for you as well.
Yeah, it has. But it don't seem that long. It's unbelievable, really. But no. Yeah, it has been. I've seen more matches at Medeski than I did at Elm Park.
It's for me, it's a real shame that you can't give newer fans that experience of going to Elm Park and just experiencing what it was like.
It's just, it's this age, isn't it? I mean, for me, that was my youth. Yeah. That was me growing up. Because I used to go to Junior Rules. And we used to go before the match. We used to get down there at 10. We used to have our Reading kits on. We used to sometimes play teams that come down.
Yeah.
Like maybe Birmingham or whatever team come down that day. They'd give us a match before the game. We used to have a little clubhouse. We used to be in the Tyler's Den. We used to go downstairs. It was in the back there. We used to watch St and Greasy. Probably a lot of people won't remember that. St and Greasy. And then we used to go out onto the terraces. And the idea was we were supposed to go out and pay. Of course, that never happened. We'd in the toilet for 20 minutes and then come back out. So I had about four seasons where I didn't pay a penny. So the reason they really went bust, it weren't because of Robert Max, me and my mates.
Guys, how could you? That's the reason we had to move. But
it's £2 to get in then as well.
No, it's a big part of our history that it's such a shame that it's gone. We mentioned it a few times on the show. It's nice that the club do things like the video stuff pre-match.
Yeah, I do like that, I must admit.
But no, it's been gone 15 years now.
I know, it's such a shame. It was a lovely little old traditional football ground, but to move forward you have to have a big stadium I got now, and it's good for that, but I still harp on about my youth because I could walk then because I was closer. I was much closer to the ground then than I am now.
Well, as you know, the website is the Tarlest End. It's a lasting memorial to that that famous terrace.
Yep,
you sit on the wall at the front.
I did
until the stewards, some stewards used to let me get away with it, let me sit there for the whole game.
I sit on the wall at the front, dad just stands at the back. And as I got older, I managed to stand with my dad and his mates. And then
did you have a post to lean on?
Oh, we had his same exact. He couldn't move out of your place. It was where you stood. So he used to stand right at the back of South Bank by the old burger bar and that, towards the Tyler's Den.
Yeah, where the programme mate was.
It's pretty much in between the halfway line and the goal area.
Yeah,
in between there, exactly where I sit now. Exactly the same position, right at the back.
Good memories. If you got your own memories and stuff of Elm Park and stuff, you know, send them in. More than happy to say, you know, it doesn't have to be a massively topical discussion, you know.
Anything you got, yeah, because it'll spark a memory in one of us or someone else, and it's
all good to talk about. If you can think of any players that have played at Elm Park, they're still going, yeah, send them in.
That's going to rack my brain without the next week or so. Yeah,
give you something to think about anyway. Yep. I suppose back moving, just one final topical thing before we go. We won't be doing a show next week because it's the international break and you know, we get to sit through the glory that is international friendlies.
Yeah, when no one turns up. No fans, no players.
No, a few Reading players now. I think Kelly and Pearce with Ireland. You've got Gunter and Robson Carney with Wales, and a couple of other people are flying off. I think it's Gorks who's playing for Latvia against Ireland.
So that'd be interesting to watch that, if nothing else.
Yeah, so
it's a bit of a Pearce versus Gorks trade off, isn't it? Who's the greatest?
I love to see a 100-yard sprint between those two. But so it's international week, so we won't be recording next week. So we won't get to talk before the Blackburn game. Touched on it briefly. Blackburn, they're a side that can hurt you, but they've not done an awful lot since they were relegated from the Premier League a couple of years ago.
No, they've got a few decent individuals. Oh, obviously, Jordan Rhodes is a good goal scorer. I think if he's playing, then he'd be the one to watch. But it's another game you don't. Reading will go and get some out of. Even if it's a draw, you'd probably take that away to Blackburn. But they really need to start picking up wins, Reading, because it's been a bit of a lean spell, all in all.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the table, Blackburn are 13th, you know, 5 wins from 15 games. They're and a goal difference of +1.
Yeah,
they're very much the definition of an average side. And it's these games that separate the top two sides from the top six and upper mid-table sides. Because if you can go away to these mid-table sides and actually pick up 3 points instead of 1, it really does send a strong message. It gets you those bonus points that are going to lift you up. And they're coming off the back of getting absolutely spanked 3-0 by Brighton.
They've had some funny results. I see there they've drawn with Blackpool away, and then they've got beat by Charlton at home in the near distant past. But Blackburn, funny side. They could pick up a win, they could lose. You never know what they're going to do. But you'd hope that Reading go there and cover at least a point, if not 3.
And they've got nothing to fear, really. I mean, Jordan Rhodes aside, it's just a lot of fairly decent Championship, lower Premier League players
players that had half decent careers, but never really made it in the Premier League. So you'd have to say 11 men against 11 men, we've probably got the better side, but doesn't always translate into a win, does it?
No, obviously we have no, as I said, we don't have any real idea. It's a lot early to predict, but we don't shy away from these things on this podcast. So what's your score prediction?
2-1 Reading.
2-1 Reading. I think I'm right with you there, but I can't do that, because that would be cheating. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 Reading win.
I think we'll score.
Whether they will or not, I don't know, but I think we will.
Clean sheets aren't exactly Reading's forte, but I'll be bold.
Is at the back now.
I'll be bold and say a 1-0 win. So that about does it for Blackburn. We'll be back. I said hopefully a week, probably be about a week, 2 weeks Thursday. They shall be announced just before Reading go away to Forest.
Injuries cleared up then for the pod more than anyone.
Yeah, hopefully Johnny will be back. He can come out of hiding and stay away from fashion designing supremo John Halls. We're going to have to get an interview with John Halls now to let him defend his honour against Johnny.
I seriously hope he is a fashion designer. That is a great career move.
It's brilliant. And hopefully we are trying to work on getting a few ex-Royals interviews for the show. We are our producer Arthur has been beavering away trying to get a few.
It was nice to see Dylan Kerr at the match this week. He'd done the Golden Gamble, if you noticed.
I was actually that's funny. I haven't even checked my Golden Gamble yet from the weekend.
Oh, might have won.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And anyone who hasn't started listening to the show recently, I've done an interview with Dylan Kerr about a year and a half ago now where he was quite candid and brilliant. He did put himself across really well. That's when he was in South Africa and he has some great stories to tell. So if you can find it.
The one about Jan Mulby.
Yeah,
it's my favourite.
Wanted to knock him out. Yeah.
If you, I think it's still be on iTunes, won't it?
It'll still be on Reading Post. Dylan Kerr interview. It was good. It was well worth the hour and a half.
Search on the Goggle, and you'll be able to find it. But yeah, hopefully we'll get some interviews over in the next few weeks and months. And if you've got any ideas, as I said, for the podcast, feel free to send them in. Tarhurst@gmail.com. Right, that's it. We've taken up enough of your time. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Ta-da.